You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. It is our prayer that we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus as we learn to build our foundation through God's Word in our worship and prayer life. And so we bring you this series called Upper Room.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, it's all by the grace of God. And I can't believe that my husband can attest that I live a life of prayer. And it's really by the grace of God. And today, that's what I also want to impart to you. Okay? You won't believe maybe, really? Am I living a life of prayer? Okay. That's why I am excited to share this. I believe God will speak to you. Okay, today, I was asked to preach on prayer, like what Jesus said. And I want us to look at the example of Jesus, we as his followers. So the purpose is we, for us as his followers, will develop a deeper understanding of prayer. Okay, and not only for our understanding to increase, but to continually grow in our desire to pray and become closer in our relationship with God. Okay, so for the last 2 weeks, we were gleaning from the topics of word and worship. We have learned how important the word of God is, okay, how should we value it, like our bread, our daily bread, and also worship. How essential are both in nurturing our relationship with God. Today, we will be focusing on the essentials of prayers, okay, and learn how vital it is in developing and growing our intimacy with the Lord. So this is not just about one-time prayer, but it's growing, it's continuous, it's building up. I want to say that this is our Christian faith is not like other religions that is based on the things that we do or not to do. Do you agree? Okay, I'm glad this is not about the things that we do or not to do, or else I'm failing a lot. I'm missing a lot. I hope I'm not the only one who can, you know, say yes to that. It is based on what Jesus has done on the cross for us as God's plan of redemption for mankind. Okay? He gave his life for us as a gift. It's a gift. This gesture of God demonstrates his great love for us through salvation in Christ. And you know what? The beauty of God's gift of salvation, which is by grace, okay, it is being revealed to us as we commune with him. Maybe for some of us, we really don't understand how important salvation is, how precious is that finished work of Christ on the cross for us. But as we continue to commune with the Lord, it will be revealed in us more and more and more. Okay, may I request everyone, for the reverence of God's word, let's read from Luke chapter 5. Please stand up on your feet. Today we will just be reading from one verse, but I want to include the verse before that. Let me read. Luke 5 verse 15. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. May we all read it all together, verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Let us pray. Dear God, we submit to the authority of your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Thank you because you are in our presence today. And Lord, please help me communicate your word just as you mean it, Lord, for us to receive it. For we believe, God, that through the hearing of your word, faith comes. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we listen to you, you speak to us and build our faith so we can be closer, Lord, and enjoy our fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Okay, Luke chapter 5, if you look back from verses 1 to 15, okay, they describe how Jesus would spend his day. Okay, later tonight, I encourage you, or maybe after you step out, or maybe right now, you can look back on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, and see whether I'm telling you the whole truth or I'm just making up these stories, okay? In this chapter, in verses 1 to 15, Jesus was doing his everyday thing, okay? In the first part of the chapters, he was making disciples. And that was the time that the first three men, while they were fishing in the lake, Jesus called them out. And he told them after they were able to catch more fish than they were expecting, Jesus told them, come follow me and I will teach you to become fishers of men. Then the second part, Jesus was healing the sick. Actually, in that part, he cleanses a leper. Okay? And then the third part, he was teaching the crowd, and many more came because they heard of him. He became busy, meaning to say the crowd started to approach him because he became famous of what he has been doing in the ministry. In other words, Jesus was busy. Okay, but the next verse, it starts with the word but. B-U-T, okay? It's a conjunction that contrasts the whole contents of the previous verses. It says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And Jesus, just like us, like what I mentioned earlier, he has his everyday activities. His schedule is full. He's not just sitting there praying in the mountain. He was actively doing the ministry. Okay, every day. He was surrounded by people. There were many needs around him. But Jesus withdrew to desolate places and pray. You know, the word desolate means uninhabited, meaning to say there were no other person present when he would go to that place. It would just be by himself and the Father. So today, let's revisit prayer and take a closer look so we can learn from the Lord himself how we may bring prayer to our upper room. Okay? So what is prayer? King James Version used the term pray to ask, petition, request, or beseech. The word prayer means a spiritual communion with God or an object of worship. But the word prayer in the Bible is how believers, okay, believers of God, that includes us. We are all believers of God, right? Amen. Okay. How do we communicate to him? That's prayer. It's how we express our praises. It's how we give our thanksgiving, our thanks, our gratitude to God, our pleading, our confession, our hurts, even your complaints. Our complaints. We do all have complaints, right? Our joy, even our wishes and deepest secrets. All of us, we have deep secrets. But only in the presence of God can we bring them. So simply put, prayer is communicating to God. It is our communion with God. It's our sweet fellowship with Him. Okay, I want us to take a few moments and reflect how our relationships are. How are our relationships? Okay, if you're married with your spouse, your friends, your other siblings or people who are close to you, how do you communicate with them? Okay, you say, hi friend. Hi, dude. Okay. If it's your sweetheart, maybe your term of endearment, hi, honey. Hi, sweetheart. If your children, maybe you call them their names or call them darlings. Okay. It's up to you, right? But, you know, we bring our thoughts, we exchange our emotions when we approach them. And then they also say to us, depending on what we are talking about, right? It depends on our relationship. Sometimes you also invite them to go for coffee. Okay, we bring that to another level. We're not contented with your just talking on the phone. We want to see each other face to face and then catch up. For me and my husband, we see each other every day, but we find a way to really have time together so we can talk more. You know, we can catch up. And same thing with, you know, with friends that you have. But when we go to God, how do you approach God? We usually approach God by saying so many titles to Him. We call Him Lord God, Father of Heaven, Maker of Heaven and Earth. Those are true, you know, those are a respectable address to God, right? But when I go to my husband, would I tell him, hi, Geosinus, my husband, the father of three children, you're the son of like this. You don't do that, right? Or even when you go to your friend, you say to your friend, hi, Joella, my friend, you are a campus worker, like this. Like, you don't do that. You come to your friend, you come to your close that person is close to you and just express how you feel, right? Sometimes we are all caught up with many things, many thoughts that are not God's design for prayer. That's why we get tired. You know, God doesn't get tired hearing us, but eventually we will get tired. That's why we, instead of coming to Him in prayer, we stop. It's so tiring. What I want us to see and learn today is, and I believe that's what God wants us to receive today, it's not to have an awesome prayer life, okay? There are times that my prayer time is very sweet. I cry, I laugh, but sometimes it's just the ordinary day, but it's okay, okay? The goal for us is to connect with God and grow in our intimacy with Him. Then the question is, these are the questions actually. Why are we not praying? Or how often must we pray? I prayed last Sunday, okay? How can we pray? These are the questions that we can ask for us to, you know, be able to see, okay, let's revisit prayer. Let's learn lessons from Jesus. The first lesson is prayer is a top priority. Luke 5 verse 16. But He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. You know, like what we have seen earlier, Jesus did not allow the things of life to dictate His prayer life. Actually, He had the greatest concern, more than any one of us. I always hear the word saying, the word busy. I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. But Jesus Himself, He had the greatest concern up on His shoulder. He's carrying that, and that is saving the world. That includes you and me. But He made priority. He made prayer as a top priority. He willfully withdrew, for He knew the Father is in control. He knew. Imagine, He's the Messiah. He is the Savior. But He didn't take matters in His hand. He withdrew from the things that He's been doing, His responsibility, so He can commune with the Father. For He knows that from that, in that moment that He's with the Father is in control. He prioritized His time of prayer with God. You know, we all have priorities, right? We all have priorities, right? Yeah, but sometimes, you know, the priorities are not in the right places, right? But this is what I have observed, and I'm sure you also observe that no matter how we grind each day, there are always needs after needs for us to meet, right? You cannot accomplish everything in one day, and many things would call for our attention. Many things. If we put prayer on top of our priority list, we have to take a pause, okay? We can. Remember when someone is calling you and you miss the call and you see that you have a missed call, you call back. Because you know that that call must be important, especially if that person does not just call you flippantly, right? Or if there is an urgent call, an emergency call, you stop, take a pause, and then attend to that. How much more can't we take time, take a pause to spend with God? You know, I remember when I got saved, The person who discipled me, the first thing that she taught me is how to build a prayer life. She gave me a notebook and a pen and my Bible, and she taught me how to prioritize prayer first thing in the morning. It took a while for me to make it a priority. I was young, but then later on, because I know that it's important, and I was, you know, excited to hear from God, because every time I would pray to God, I feel this release, you know, I feel this connection, I feel this peace in my heart, and it's like receiving a marching order from God, you know. As a young person, I enjoyed that, and I carried it on until I became a single. When I was a single, wow, I enjoyed my time every morning. That's my time. Every morning, I pray as long as I want before I go to work. But when I got married, it changed. It's no longer I who's controlling my time. I have my husband with me. I have responsibility. I need to cook breakfast. I need to prepare for what he needs. And plus, when I got children, I had a child, that's another responsibility. So sometimes I'm already tired, I haven't yet prayed, but I would always find a way inside the kitchen or maybe while putting my baby to sleep to connect with God because I saw it as a priority. It is something that you can fight. You have to fight for your time with God because there will always be needs. There will always be things that make us busy. No growing roles and responsibilities, even our relationships. It's good to have friends, but sometimes those relationships, those responsibilities, you know, including our self-indulgences and our ambitions, they take us farther away from God. They make us all busy. And sometimes, if you're not aware, busyness is the tactic of the enemy for you to no longer connect with God, for you to no longer see the value of prayer, your communion with the Lord as the top priority. John Eldredge said this, benevolent detachment is the ability to let go, walk away, not necessarily physically, but soulfully. You know, I like this word. This is about not hating the world. That's why, okay, I'm walking out from them. I need to withdraw. It's not like that. You know, benevolent detachment is stepping out from where you are, not necessarily stepping out physically, but in your soul, connect with God. Be quiet and get in there, in the presence of God. You know, Jesus made his time of solitude and silence as his priority. You know why? He treasured his communion with God. If it's your priority, you always find a way to do it, right? But if it's not the top priority, it's okay. You won't give so much time. No, I remember Jesus, he was rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees. Although he is God, you know, he's powerful. He could have just rebuked them and you know, addressed them. But you know what? He just shrugged off rejection. Why? Because in his communion with the Father, in his prioritizing his communion with the Father, he learned that. He poured that out to the Father. He brought them all to the Father. You know, the strength and the courage that he had before his trial, you remember he was crying when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was telling his disciples to pray more. No, he spent more time praying instead of crying, instead of, you know, telling the pain that he's about to face. He spent more time in prayer and he was ready. He was prepared for all those in his time of solitude and silence. Sometimes we prioritize pouring our complaints through social media. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I'm not against social media, okay? My point is, as believers of Christ, the first priority that we get to have is to get into the presence of God and pour to Him our fears, our frustrations, and everything. No, God's presence is always in our midst because His Holy Spirit is in us. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? His Spirit lives in us. But because we are not God who is omnipresent, God can be present anywhere, okay? We cannot be completely undisturbed in His presence while we are attending to others' presence. Do you agree? Even if you are the master of multitasking, you cannot. Okay, you cannot. We will not be able to attend to His presence while in the presence of others. We need to be present while in the presence of God. We all need to prioritize a moment of pause before jumping to one thing and to the next. Imagine every morning you were tired last night and you wake up in the morning, you jump up and go to the restroom and, you know, take a shower and jump again and run to your work. Wow. We need to prioritize somewhere in between. It could be somewhere in between while walking, while going to your workplace. Second lesson, prayer is personal and therefore intimate. Okay, it's personal. Luke 5, verse 16. But he would withdraw to solitary places and pray. This is another version. Solitary places. And then in Matthew 14, verse 23, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. No, in verse 16 of chapter 5 of Luke, solitary places. There were no other people present there. He He went up on the mountain, Matthew 14:23, by himself. Actually, if you look at it, this is intimacy. Intimacy, though, cannot be developed by one time or twice. It is developed through constant closer relationship. No, it is developed through expression of gratitude, your trust. When you start to open up to your friend, right, you become closer. When you start to confide to your friend, you become closer. The prayer that Jesus is teaching us here is not, you know, in this verse, is not a prayer meeting. Okay, this is not about prayer meeting. This is, we will talk about that in another preaching topic, okay? But a time of communion with God, a personal time with God. It is an alone time. One-on-one conversation with God. This is not even the prayer that you utter before meal. You enter into the presence of our Lord to talk to Him, to expect for His response. Maybe, you know, at first it's difficult because we are already used to being surrounded by many things. Even if you're alone, you can have your phone with you. And it's like you're part of another community while connecting in the website or whoever is your connection in the phone. Do you agree? But when we approach the presence of God, it is intimate and personal because we start to enter into His most holy place. Okay? You know, the Bible says, enter His courts with thanksgiving in our heart. Okay? But C.S. Lewis said, confession is like the threshold of prayer. Yeah. I will make you hang on that. I will hang on that part, okay? The word threshold means gate or door to our prayer life. Let me go back to what I said earlier. We enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. But we come to the point of beginning our prayer when we confess our sin to Him. Why? Because it's the time when we drop our guard, be humble before God, and acknowledge before Him, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I am weak. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, my intelligence is not enough. My charisma is nothing, Lord. I need you. I'm sorry, Lord. When we confess our sins to God, we ask forgiveness for the things that we've done, that we have thought about, or maybe said for us to receive mercy. Maybe it's like this, Lord, forgive me for I judged my daughter, for I judged that person, or maybe, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have not said that to that person. Or simply saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my temper, I hurt my spouse. Why is it important? Unconfessed sin hinders us from praying. May we realize today the power of confession to our prayer life. God sees everything. We cannot hide anything from God, you know? We cannot cover our heart with pretensions or we cannot say, God, no, Lord, it's not. God sees everything. You know what shuts us off from praying is our unconfessed sin. Sometimes we pretend we've done nothing, right? Proverbs 28 verse 13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Imagine no requirement, you just have to confess your sin and you will find mercy. In our solitude with God, we acknowledge our human frailties, our weakness, our struggles. We come humble before God. Of course, it's important that you ask someone to pray for you when you have committed a sin, right? And ask that person to pray with you. But you start with God. You start opening up to God and telling Him, Lord, I have sinned. Help me. Even Jesus Himself, He cried out to God, are you suffering now deep inside in your emotions? Don't nurture it with what you know how to nurture it. There are so many self-help books today. Don't You can use that, but that's not enough. Come to God, cry out to Him. Hebrews 5:17. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. The word flesh there, according to Strong Concordance, it means human nature. When Jesus was about to be crucified and about to be brought to trial, He felt the pain. He was anxious about it. You know, He knew what's gonna happen in a few hours from that time on. But He cried out to God. We are not perfect. We need to cry out to God, right? You're hurting today. You're feeling rejected. You don't know what's happening, what's going to happen next. You are bombarded with so many unexpected events. That's not just you. All around the world today, many unexpected events come up. Only in God can we express our hopes and deep wishes without being judged or misunderstood. He's like a father to us. You know, there's a verse, the scripture says that He no longer looks at us as servants. And there's another also scripture that says He adopted us into His sonship. Then who we are then? We are God's children, right? Maybe for some of you, that's hard to imagine. To imagine God as a loving father, because you grew up with, you know, with not so loving father, but you know, God is different. God wants to extend His love to you as a loving father. It's in our time with Him that we learn to listen, to quiet our soul and be attentive to His voice. Lord, I need Your voice as a father to me, not the voice of my father who's cruel to me. No, God is also interested to hear us out. Do you believe that? The book of Psalms says, the Lord is eager to hear our prayers. Wow, praise God. Imagine the word eager. God is already waiting for us to utter His prayers to Him. That's how God is to us. He's a father. He's been waiting. No, but we keep on going far away. We keep on doing many things with our hands. Okay. God is interested to hear us out. God is interested to hear your stories, your complaints, your fears. That's why prayer is intimate. That's why prayer is personal. There's a time for a corporate prayer, but in the upper room, it's just between you and God. You speak to Him, He speaks to you. E.M. Bounds, the author of the book Essentials of Prayer, this is what he said, secret praying is the test, the gauge, the conserved of man's relation with God. That's true. It's easy to pray when you are with other people, right? But in your alone time with God, in your prayer chamber, that's where you build your relationship with the Lord. That's where you store in your love tank, okay? Not from people filling your love tank, but God filling your love tank. And that's in His presence, no? When you can pray in secret, when you can pray all alone, it means that you are secure in God's acceptance of you, in who you are in Christ. It's not what other people tells you. It's intimate and personal, not because you want to get something and then tell to other people through the news feeds that you make. It's good. I also do that. But that is a time that's meant for you and God. He will speak. You just have to listen. You just have to be with Him. Remove extra distractions. Remove other distractions. Just focus with Him. And then the third lesson, prayer is a lifestyle. Okay, same verse, but I took it from the New Living Translation. It says there, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. See, that's the frequency of time that Jesus spent. Okay, it's a lifestyle, right? In a noisy world where we live in, the noise could make us deaf. No, I'm not just talking about being deaf, like I can't hear you when you call me. Okay, it's about being spiritually deaf. If we keep hearing the same noise over and over, our ability to hear will be impaired. You know, there is this story, he's an opera singer, but she's an opera singer and she became deaf. Why? Because the cause of her deafness was the highest point of her voice. When she reaches that area, what do you call that in opera singing? That made her deaf. And sometimes, our frustrations, our disappointments, our fears, our own dreams, they could make us deaf, spiritually deaf, that we could no longer hear what God wants to hear, what God wants us to hear from Him. Because it's what we want, it's our ambition, that's what we are hearing. The noise in your newsfeed, the dictate of culture in your story. What's the dictate of culture? You should wear this, you should look like this, you should be like that, you know, you should go to that place, you should have this. That's the culture. Notifications. You have a message from this. The deadlines, you know. Sometimes when you check only email or maybe the things that you need to respond, emails or messages that you need to respond to, wow, I already spent 1 hour responding to the messages. Do you also experience that? Our spiritual ears eventually become dull that we find it hard to hear God. You know what? God speaks in a whisper. Elijah experienced that. Elijah thought that God was in the storm, that God was in the earthquake, but God wasn't there. God spoke gently in a whisper. Now imagine, if you are surrounded with many noise, uncertainties, fear of the future, fear of the virus, fear of losing your job, fear of losing your loved ones, the educational status of your children, okay, your relationship with someone, how would you hear God speak to your soul when your soul is already clogged with many voices of concern? Brothers and sisters, confession, bringing our worship, receiving from the Lord is a lifestyle. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a weekend thing. It's not just for a victory group thing. It is a lifestyle. Lord, I repent. Every day it's a lifestyle. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what your word is telling me today? How do I deal with my problems? How do I do my responsibilities, Lord, with joy in my heart and not complaining? How will I stop comparing myself to these people, Lord? It's a lifestyle. You know, Jesus knew he had to withdraw often. The Message version of that scripture that we read, it says, as often as possible. As often as possible, meaning to say, it suggests not in a span of a week or a month, but as often as possible. Maybe in a day, as many times as possible. Make it a lifestyle. You know, our lifestyle, it's the reflection of our choices. If you want to have a healthy lifestyle, you have to sleep early. Let go of other activities, right? If you want to live a healthy lifestyle, you need to eat the right kind of food. You need to exercise. Not only that, you also have to keep your brain healthy, not only your body, right? Mark 1, verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. You know, Jesus knew that that day would be busy, so what he did, he woke up early so he can have time with the Father. Wow. If we look and pay attention to this verse, we can learn from this, right? Management of time. Or maybe just, you know, at making it in your top priority. Actually, you can do it while walking, going to your workplace, especially if you are in a very busy season of your life. You can pray while you are in the bus, while you are in the car. The thing, though, is you cannot read your Bible and you cannot read those things that you know, that you can learn from the Bible. But there's also audio Bible now, so there's no excuse, right? We always make it a point, just like what Jesus did. And then in Luke 11, verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You know, I'm imagining these verses. The disciples have been observing Jesus. They have been observing him. They have been seeing how he would enjoy his alone time with God. And they wanted to learn. Maybe they have seen how easily he had cast out the demon spirit possessing a person, right? And they were amazed. How could he do that? How could he have patience to those disciples who had different strong personalities? So they were observing Jesus. So they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because Jesus already established a lifestyle of prayer. Any time of the day, Jesus had an established prayer time. Again, God speaks in a whisper. We can only hear him when we are in close proximity to him. You cannot hear a whisper when you are far away. You only hear when you are close, in close proximity to him. No, the Holy Spirit who's living in us will give us discernment to his voice in our frequent time of communion. You know, Jesus was so brave to face those who were about to hang him. God told him ahead of time. He spent time with the Lord, and so he was familiar. He knew the voice of God. God would prepare us for whatever is next in our lives, and we receive that in our personal time with him. Another quote from E.M. Bounds, we can never expect to grow in the likeness of our Lord unless we follow his example and give more time to communion with the Father. A revival of real praying would produce a spiritual revolution. In other words, we become like Jesus when we spend more time with him. Have you heard many people say, you become like the people that you spend time with, right? That's why couples sometimes they say, sometimes people would say, wow, you already look like each other. You look similar, you know. So be careful on who you will be spending time a lot. You will be looking like that person, okay? But I want to emphasize this, you know, relationship. Our relationship with God is a gift from him. But our closeness to him, our proximity to him is a choice. If God speaks to me, he will also speak to you. If God speaks to your victory group leaders, he can also speak to you. The problem is, are you near? Are you listening? Are you attentive? Our lifestyle is the reflection of our choices, you know? Jesus chose to set his priorities right from the beginning. He chose what's right in order for us to enjoy the blessing of this gift. And in closing, I want to read from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22, but I want to emphasize on the first two verses. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus opened the way for us. He opened the curtain for us so we can enter into the most holy presence of God without requiring us anything. No need to, you know, come up with many things that you think, you know, those wrong mindsets about prayer, about yourself, that I have to be like this so I can approach God. I have to do more. I have to give more. I have to serve more so I can pray easily and approach God. But the Bible, but what we have read in Hebrews, Jesus already opened the curtain and that is His death on the cross. That is His gift to us. Now, our part is to nurture this communion. That is our part. God is waiting for you. God is always there in your meeting place every day. Do you have a secret place with God? Do you have a meeting place with God? Do you have your upper room with Him? Make it grow. Make it grow. It's not always fun, but I tell you, just press on. And God is there. He's waiting for us. Build it constantly. Always having our soul in close proximity to God. Let's pray. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for the word, God, that you have spoken to us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on the cross. You've opened the way for us, Lord. Help us remember that we are forgiven, we've been accepted, and the gift of salvation, Lord, is about relationship with you. It's not about works, Lord, and you're waiting for us to enter in. I pray, God, that Holy Spirit, point out any wrong mindset, Lord, anything that hinders us, Lord, from doing so. And even as we continue to worship God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to everyone. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts, updates, and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. The Lord bless you.